let's meet the candidates for an open seat in Assembly. That's Assembly Seat H in East Anchorage. And first of all, our first candidate, Mr. Paul Honeyman.
Good evening. I am Paul Honeyman, running for Section 5, Seat H on the East Side. I'm a 37-year Alaskan resident in Anchorage, 33 of those years in the East Side. Married almost 30 years, in fact, the day after the election, to my wife Valerie. Two children and two grandchildren. My wife, myself, and my two children, all graduates of Bartlett High School. I'm a retired from the Anchorage Police Department after 23 years. I'm an Army veteran, four active and two active reserve years. And most importantly, I'm a super voter. And I'd appreciate your vote on Tuesday, April 6th. And by the way, early elections going on right now at the Lusac Library, City Hall, all the way up to Election Day.
Len?
Mr. Haldeman, what are the two or three most important issues for the Northeast Anchorage area as you go house to house?
Well, number one, what I've been hearing a lot of is, of course, concerns about public safety. We've had recently some young school children who were bumped into by a man in a vehicle, and then they were essentially encouraged or coaxed to try to get in the car as if he was going to drive them for help. That was a concern, public safety. Number two, roads. People are very concerned. They see money coming in from the feds and the state on the highway, the Glen Highway and Muldoon and Tudor. But they, after they leave the intersections and get into the city area, they're just not seeing the support. And then lastly, of course, property taxes. People are concerned about the ever-increasing concern of paying the budget on the backs of the property taxes only.
Thank you. How do you feel about Mayor Sullivan's decision to keep the municipal budget below the tax cap?
You know, at first, like everyone else, I was very concerned that this budget was projected in 2009 to be $17 to $25 million short with a deficit. And as it turned out, those projections were at the beginning of a year, is using best guess scenarios with some empirical data and some timelining that they've done over a five-year period. But as it turned out, at the end of the year, we ended up with a $10 million surplus. So in the time of 2009, since this mayor has started in on the budget, we've eliminated police jobs, fire jobs, we've furloughed people, and we've actually asked labor to forfeit their year of contract that they would have been in pay increases, all to balance a budget, and at the same time still continue to try to decry that we're in a deficit mode. And I just have some concerns about that, and I'm really frankly worried about who's doing the math.
The H district has increasingly been designated, even on the 2020 plan, as high-density housing. And, of course, they had share of site condos there, some of them quite nice and some otherwise. So how do you react to the Title 21?
Well, certainly Title 21 has been going on for almost 9 years in its rewrite. And in fact, Title 21, which is our land use and development codes, have been in existence since 1982, since any last revisions. And so in the interim, builders and developers have been approaching the assembly through after they've gone through the permitting and land use process, asking for variances and exceptions. And so it was very clear that there's a need to update to get within current standards and code, both nationally for health reasons and locally for design standards. And so there's been a big concern on the east side about all these dense and condensed housing. I'm one of them. The site condos, in my opinion, are very unattractive. And more than anything, they create roadways that are substandard. And on top of that, the homeowners, when they buy into that program, they're not really told and disclosed that if something goes wrong with the water and the sewer inside those projects, they're responsible for picking up the repair costs. And so those are poor choices been made, and no one really watching the process as it goes on. And I really push for a Title 21 that's usable, that's sustainable, that has long-term planning that helps.
How will you vote on the bond propositions?
I'm voting yes on all of them this time around. I don't always. In this particular case, there's only, I think, four or five major bonds that have any money, and then there's a land swap. It's a matter of leveraging when it comes to the public transit bond. If we put in a certain amount of money, the federal government puts in a substantial amount of matching funds, and that makes sense. When I started at the municipality, my first job was at the People Mover. We had about just under 80 or 90 buses at that time, and I believe there are just under 60 buses now. And this has been about 24 years ago. So we need to increase our public transit, improve it.
How would you characterize the five-year union contracts that have received so much attention? Would you call them a mistake?
Not really. It basically a contract of a long protracted period. By the way, the Meister administration signed in a five-year plan. I believe the Wirtz administration did. These aren't something new that's just starting to see at this municipal government level. Negotiating for a contract is in and of itself a costly proposition. Each administration has to provide a staff. They have to do studies. They have to to bargain, hopefully in good faith. And I believe that these contracts were bargained in good faith and within time frames. And, in fact, on a couple of cases, they were some requests to essentially created to us on the health side of the health plan, the health insurance, created a cost savings measure for the municipality and it's the public taxpayer. So the contracts in and of himself, I believe, are negotiated fairly. And, you know, I wished I'd be able to vote with the outcome source, you know, 10 years down the road and be very certain that what I was voting for today, 10 years down the road, was always going to be the best decision. It doesn't always happen.
What can the Assembly do to improve the local economy?
Well, quite frankly, the first thing you can do is create a stable and consistent government, which is the platform I'm running on. We certainly don't need to spend every dollar we can find, and certainly we don't have to tax to the cap. But you don't tell everyone that the sky is falling, that we've got a bad economy, and that we can't afford anything, and start slashing and cutting, and expect that that's going to drive or encourage people to come to either visit or to perhaps live or create new businesses here in Anchorage. And secondly, of course, in government, you can kind of get out of the way of the persons who want to develop and the persons who want to actually bring in new industry by helping them with the process and not creating onerous permitting processes or fees that they can't afford to do. So a lot of things you can do, but more than anything, create a consistent and stable government that's affordable.
Mr. Holderman, the mayor's predicted at least one more year of pretty big budget challenges. What do you hope you would like to see in what he proposes to meet that?
Well, you know, frankly, I think I addressed it earlier. If they're using the same math that they've used for 2009 and the numbers were that far off, I'm suspect of 2010 numbers already. And I'd like to call for, more than about 3 years ago, there were two budget analysts working at the Assembly staff, and they were fact-checking and truth-checking these numbers. And it appears that there's an ever-apparent growing need that we need to have something. And whether it's a staff person or we have a contract with some accountants that do not work for the municipality that can look at these numbers and give a good assessment on is it factual, are these accurate to the best of the ability and knowledge, so that the Assembly can – the Assembly sets the budget and sets the money amounts, which basically comes out of your property taxes. So we need to be responsible and make it a sustainable budget.
Paul Holderman, how important is the Kinnick Arm Bridge project?
Well, for me, it's about access in and out of Anchorage. We have one source right now on the Glen Highway. I think the congestion and traffic, and in case of a time of emergency, it would be nice to have a second or alternative route. Secondarily, there's an economic portion to it. One is to get to the port and McKenzie on the other side and perhaps have an industrial area, obviously opening up some land for development for residential. But that's secondary to me. And I guess most importantly is, can we build this bridge, or can it be built with the minimal impact of the taxpaying public? We kind of shot ourselves in the foot being laughed at and parroted on several shows about bridges to nowhere. Well, there's certainly a bridge to somewhere, and we've allowed this fiasco to go on. So I'm concerned about how we're going to fund it and sustain it.
How threatening do you feel our natural gas situation is?
Talk to many sources who have been on the private company drilling platforms in the Kenai area, Cook Inlet, as well as Anchorage, and they assure me that there are many, many gas pocket drill wells, wells drilled in both locations, and they're just simply capped because we have no storage facilities and we have no transportation or pipeline to get the gas to the marketplace. And so I'm not buying into the shortage, but I am concerned that someone has to get off the dime and build either a storage facility and or a transportation pipeline system, if you will, to get the gas to the market and for use in the Anchorage Bowl.
Curbside recycling has spread to many Anchorage neighborhoods. Is it working, and what about the public response?
Well, I live in the waste management area, and I bought into the tub for the recycling, and it has saved me substantially on the amount of bags I set out for the curbside trash. What I was concerned with in the municipal solid waste services was this forced product of two containers, plastic containers, and essentially they changed in the area where I have my rental property. It went from alley access pickup to curbside pickup, and in the middle of winter, we're a winter city. That doesn't seem to make much sense, And so the way it went about, the logistical portion of it and the implementation, I think was very poor. It wasn't thought out very well, and I'd like to see some changes. In fact, I'm going to look into that and see what we can do about adjustments.
A couple of years ago or so, the assembly was founded by a court decision that it was perhaps ignoring conflict of interest procedures. What would you consider a conflict of interest for you?
Well, certainly, I am a retiree from the Anchorage Police Department, and at the time I was covered under the Anchorage Police and Fire Retirement Program, and there's a medical trust. By the way, I have no life insurance policy that's paid for by the city, nor do I have a medical plan that's paid for by the municipality. I have a medical trust of about $500-some a month that goes into a plan that I can draw from to pay for insurance, but the same plan that I had while I was active is about $1,400, so it's woefully underfunded, and there was some responsibility by the municipal assembly that was supposed to be reviewing this to try to keep up with it. So if there were decisions made on the Anchorage Police and Fire Retirement Trust, I believe that would be a conflict for me. I'd have to step aside. I might be able to encourage my former or my fellow assembly persons to look at it with some informed information, but I wouldn't be able to vote on it. I would declare that.
Okay. Anchorage has become an increasingly diverse city. How do you think we're doing at creating a sense of community out of our diversity?
Well, I think we're doing pretty good. We could certainly do better. We've had several models that we've been able to, you know, bridge builders, some other programs. The faith-based AFACT has been very good at trying to pull together the Christian community and the faith community and being very open and accepting. One of the problems that we face is with the youth who have a good command of the English language and what it really truly means and their rights, and couple that with their parents or even the next generation, their grandparents, who have a limited capacity of information of the English language and command of that. And so they're constantly being told things that aren't necessarily true, like, Mom and Dad, it's okay. You have to let me stay out past midnight or you can't spank me, things of that nature. So I'd be concerned about trying to educate and inform. I think we can do better in some areas, but I believe we're a pretty good, well-rounded community, and I enjoy living here.
Len, you have a quick question with a quick answer?
Should the municipality seek a sales tax?
I think it's time to look at different revenue sources. I'm for a seasonal sales tax with some very strict contingency, one being under the cap, the other dollar-for-dollar reduction on your property tax. But we need to look at it. We cannot sustain our budget on property tax alone. There's been studies to show it.
Thank you, Paul Honeman. Now let's welcome Thomas Purcell. Mr. Purcell, opening statement, and then we'll ask you some questions.
Yes, my name is Thomas Purcell. I'm running for seat H, Eastside Anchorage. I was born in Anchorage in 1963. I graduated from Bartlett High School in 1982, graduated from Gonzaga University in Spokane, Washington in 1987 with my degree in accounting, currently an accounting instructor at Charter College. And I'm running for the assembly because I feel it's time that you should not have to worry about losing your home to property taxes. I believe it's time Anchorage now moves to a sales tax or some other source of funding for city government. I don't believe the city has the right to take a homeowner's home after they've worked 30 years or so to pay it off, and that's why I'm running for the Anchorage Assembly. I work for many a local business as the chief financial officer with businesses that ranged in revenue from $6 to $26 million. And I've seen the burden, the financial burden placed on businesses by municipal property taxes, bed taxes, as a homeowner, my own personal property taxes. They seem to grow every year. I've always tried to vote conservatively, but I never seem to get the satisfaction of lowering my property taxes. I believe it's time to actually move away from a sales tax or a property tax and go to a sales tax to completely fund city government. I believe it would be a paycheck for the city, and out of that paycheck, they would determine what their priorities are. My priorities are police, fire, school, and roads in that order, with only the police department being subject to binding arbitration. You will have a set pool of money, and out of that, you will have to determine your priorities of what you will spend your money on.
Len?
Given your statements about the property tax, do you feel the assessment process is accurate, or at least as accurate as it can be? Is the appeal process fair?
Personally, no. I don't believe the assessment process is accurate. I don't believe it's fair. I believe it's certainly loaded to the city's advantage. You have to appeal to the city. The city's person is the person that determines the appeal. I believe it is completely biased on part of the city, and I don't believe the assessments are necessarily fair and accurate as far as what the property values are. My home seems to keep going up in value. I believe it was built in 1967. And quite frankly, it needs a lot of repairs, a lot of maintenance. It's falling apart. It's hard to keep warm in the winter. And so, no, I truly do not believe that the assessments are fair and accurate at all.
You think it would be a little more fair or more accurate if the assessors were allowed in, say, every 2 years or every 3 years?
Into the home?
Into the homes to go through.
Well, I think I would have no problem with them asking to come into the home. I don't think they have a right necessarily to come into the home. I wish they would consider the age of the home and the condition of the home and the repairs that are needed and other things of that sort.
You referred to the going with a sales tax, replace the property tax in your opening statement. Do you know how much money we could raise through a sales tax, at what different levels, and how much money would it produce revenue?
Well, I looked at some numbers here. As far as I'm not quite sure what this city budget is, let's just take, for example, $400 million. At $400 million, I believe at an 8% sales tax, you'd have to raise $7 billion in sales divided by approximately 300,000 residents of Anchorage. You would need to probably generate $16,000 of sales. And again, I have to double check my percentages. So it came out anywhere between $16,000 per person at an 8% sales tax to equal what the city is now getting in property taxes. If you have a higher sales tax rate, then the percentage would be lower. It may be down to $6,000 to $10,000 that a person would have to spend at a 10% sales tax rate. We already have a sales tax in Anchorage in the form of a bed tax. Hotels already have a sales tax, essentially. They call it a bed tax. And that's 12%.
How do you intend to vote on the four bond propositions?
Well, at this time, I would probably vote against the bonds. Again, I'm at a point where I just want to limit the property tax burden on the property taxpayer. I do believe in the roads, though. I would like to see roads. I believe roads are important. I believe roads are the infrastructure for a city. So if there's one bond that maybe I would consider voting yes for, it would be the ones for the road. The other ones at this point I would simply vote no for.
Are we spending adequately for police protection?
I believe we are. In my priorities of police, fire, school, and roads, they would be number one. So again, I think the police would get the funding that they require and that the city thinks that they should have. By the same token, other services would probably have to be cut at the lower end of the priority scale. But being number one in my priority, I think we would give police adequate funding. I think they have adequate funding now, and the force is right for Anchorage.
Would you like to see the Kinnick Arm project move forward? And if so, how much public, state, or local backing?
Well, I would like to see it move forward. I like it as a vision for Anchorage, although I would not like to see it financed on, say, a municipal level. I'm not quite sure Anchorage could take on that kind of financial responsibility. I would like to see it more on a federal and state dollar if it were built at all. I believe it should be built in a toll fashion. The bridge should pay for itself. I believe more services locally need to be viewed more like a business and have to pay for themselves, the municipal departments to pay for themselves. There's a few departments that we should not expect to generate revenue, police, fire, schools, but other departments should be ran more like a business and be able to pay for their own infrastructure, their own salaries, their own benefits, and essentially be run more like a business.
What can the Assembly do to improve local business, economy?
I'm not sure that the Assembly itself can really generate jobs themselves. I would like to see the burden of the taxes reduced. I think that would give a lot of money to the business to grow themselves. I would like to see an end to inventory taxes, property taxes for the business. I think those are ways that a business could have more funds to expand its operation. But I'm not quite sure what exactly a government can do to generate jobs themselves.
Thank you. Lynn?
What do you think we learned from the Equal Rights Amendment situation proposed last summer?
Well, it was a very spirited debate. I like the fact that the municipality took a long time in letting everyone voice their opinion. I think Anchorage, quite frankly, is a wonderful city and has great diversity, and there's great rapport among the people. I don't see a terrible problem at all in discrimination in this town. I think in the end they made the right choice, not to pass any special amendments at this point. I just didn't feel myself that the discrimination was at a point where it needed an ordinance to be passed.
Thank you, sir. Do you think the open meetings and public records laws we have here in Anchorage are adequate?
Well, I'm not familiar with the public records meeting, but as far as the assembly, and I believe it's only three people can meet at one time outside of the assembly meeting, I like that. I think there should be more of just open discussion, but there should be more opportunities to meet, but I believe they're doing an adequate job.
How do you think we should deal with the chronic inebriate homeless? We have the deaths that seem to be stalking the community.
Yes, I first don't believe that money is the solution to the problem. I believe the best thing we can do is simply not cater to their panhandling. The public drinking is an issue. I believe it's always going to be there. It's always been there. It just seems to be more prevalent now, maybe with the down economy. I would like to see more, church and social services outreach. I'm not quite sure it's the responsibility of the city to deal with that, especially using property taxpayer dollars, if that's the case. I would like to see more families step up and help their relatives, if that's the case. I think there's a baseline that has to be maintained that people aren't dying on the streets, though. But other than that, I don't believe it. The city should have a large role in trying to, curve the problem. I don't think they will. I'm not for the Red Roof Inn. I believe that's a disservice to the Fairview community. If I were a property owner in Fairview, I would not be in favor of that. I don't quite know what the solution is, but I don't believe, putting more money, throwing more money at it is the solution, though.
Local government is nominally nonpartisan, yet the public frequently gets the impression that what we have are partisan races and partisan government. How do you explain the discrepancy?
Well, I believe most of the races are partisan, quite frankly. It seems to be you're on one side or the other on many of the issues. Myself, I'm against property taxes, so if that's partisan, then so be it. I believe it's immoral to threaten people with the loss of their home. So I'm not quite sure what the question is asking for exactly, but all politics is partisan to some degree.
Thank you. Len?
You mentioned that you had a trinity of public services that should be funded fully, and then you said the others should kind of function on their own. Would that include like the health department, the transportation department, public transportation?
Well, public transportation, no. I mean, I would like to see the bus service at least break even, although I think it is the city's responsibility to provide some form of transportation to those people that don't have it. But maybe planning and zoning. Many of the charities that get money from the city should not necessarily be funded, or should be funded at lower amounts, or so far down the priority list that they don't get funding. For example, I called on a share ride program, and when I was driving down the road, I saw a municipal van with the share ride program, and I called on it, and they were they charge $145 a month to be part of the program. But eventually I got the person to admit that they are subsidized by the municipality. And again, those kind of programs, if they can't stand on their own merits, very well should be eliminated.
Once again, we're visiting with the Assembly Seat H candidates, and Adam Trombley has been waiting patiently. Thank you, sir. Your opening statement, and then we'll turn to some questions.
My name is Adam Trombley, running for East Anchorage Section 5. I'm a third-generation Alaskan, East High graduate. After high school, I got a college basketball scholarship to the Virginia Military Institute. After serving my time, I came back up here, started a small construction business with my brother. I worked that for about 4 years. I got out of it. I work in the oil industry now. And I'm also a current member of the Budget Advisory Commission for the city. There's three main things that I want to focus on when I'm on the assembly. First and foremost, the tax cap is not necessarily a goal to attain. Just because you can tax to a certain point doesn't necessarily mean that you should. I think government has a limited role, mainly to protect life, property, and provide infrastructure, which I consider essential services. The other things, which brings me to my second point, is competition. I believe instituting competition within city services would give you an increase in your service and a lower price. It works in the private sector. When individuals want to remodel their bathroom or do work on their home, they usually get several bids because they know that the concept of competition will give them a better service at a lower price. The third thing I want to see is more transparency when it comes to public dollars, especially when it comes to long-term labor contracts. The fourth thing I want to see is I want to see a real effort, a real war on the influx of drugs into the state of Alaska. On the east side, we have a huge challenge with crime. We have a challenge with gangs. The reason gangs exist is because it's a profitable business, and that business is drugs. So we need real pressure on the state, from the city, saying, let's have a real war on the influx of drugs. Thank you.
Well, I guess that, if you want to ask, sure. Are we spending too much or the right amount or too little on police protection?
Well, again, government's role is to protect life, which would be a police force. I know that there's a challenge with the ratio of police officers to citizens. I believe it should be somewhere around 2, and it's around 1.3, I believe, currently. So the challenge that we have with the police force is, can we afford to bump it up? Well, having to fund the other non-essential programs, I would say that obviously we can't afford them. So if you introduce competition, lower the price, lower the cost of doing the other services, you will then have enough money to put into your police force and fund it to acceptable levels.
Thank you. How will you vote on the bond propositions?
I think the public safety bonds are good. I will be voting on those. I know the people of Sand Lake have been wanting a ambulance station in their area to cut down on the times. I will be voting on yes on that. The road bonds, I will be voting yes on that. The other public safety bonds, yes. And I have not made my mind up about the public transportation bond yet.
Would public transportation be partially an essential service, particularly for your area, which is actually uses it so much you have one of the central transferring points?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one main thing I think about public transportation is that it should be directed to the areas that use it the most. East Anchorage is the highest density population within the city. You have a lot of individuals that use it. So I think in that sense, yes, it is a essential service, and it goes under infrastructure, obviously, and so it should be directed to the areas that use it the most.
Okay. Now, how much can the Assembly do to improve the local economy?
The biggest thing government can generally do is reduce regulations and reduce taxes. It's a proven concept. When you get government out of business's way, that's more money that they have to invest back in their business. I meet with business owners. As a former business owner, a lot of the red tape, the permitting processes that you have to go through in order to get work is costly, and sometimes it's cost prohibitive. So if you could reduce the cost of permitting, if you could reduce the amount of regulations, you'll see an increase in productivity.
That reminds me, about 6 years ago when we faced another budget crunch, one of the things that came up was the fact that the city was undercharging permits beyond what it, quite below what it actually cost them to do and the inspections and such. Is there, you'd like to see a reduction, but a balance? Or?
Well, there has to be a balance, and directly what you're talking about, I think, you know, is there an industry standard for permits? You know, I think it's based on the area, and you have to take into account the economic realities of what you're dealing with, and so of the economy. And then, you know, you have to adjust. You have to be willing to adjust permitting processes based on that. So you want to get more productivity, and I think raising the cost of doing permits is sometimes cost prohibitive.
We've all heard about the natural gas shortage. What can the Assembly do about it, if anything?
Well, we can. Obviously, gas storage is something that the city can fight for. You know, someone who works in the oil industry, there is a lot of gas in the Cook Inlet. the challenge that a lot of companies deal with is dealing with permitting with the states. It's onerous, and it becomes more of a state issue. And so what you need to do is you need to increase the supply. You know, there is new drilling going on within the next couple of years down near Happy Valley in the Kenai area, and I think that's a good it's a step in the right direction. But we need to, in some way, put pressure on the state to say, hey, look, you need to reduce the permitting process. You need to make it easier for companies to drill.
Your high density reference for northeast Anchorage, and certainly a wide variety of different structures and housing types going in all over the town, along with the traditional. So how do you feel about the Title 21 criticism?
Well, one of the biggest challenges that comes with the Title 21 is the unintended consequences. I know that what happens is, with some of the new regulations, if your home is insured for $100,000 and if it burns down, and if you need to rebuild it according to new standards, well, it may cost you $200,000. So that's one of those unintended consequences. So the Title 21 laws have to balance cost with benefit. You know, when it comes to the highest density population area, you know, East Anchorage is one of the reason it is like that is because there was the Anchorage 2020 plan, which is actually never really followed. And so the old Anchorage 2020 plan was to move away from East Anchorage becoming a higher density area. And so there's talks about, I guess it would be a 2040 plan now. But I think I would love to be intimately involved in that and saying, hey, look, you have these Title 21 laws, but the Anchorage, the new East Side plan, I think should move away from that high density population, see more green spaces.
How important is the Kinnick Arm Bridge, and how much local money should be involved if it's necessary?
It's got to be a coordination between federal, state, and local dollars. I do approve of the Kinnick Arm Bridge. I think it's a great idea. Bridges provide access to other areas, which provides development, which provides jobs, and its growth. I think it's a great idea. I know there's a lot of challenges as far as where is it going to come in Anchorage. You know, what's it going to do to traffic? But you know, the Kinnick Arm Bridge has to be built in coordination with the highway to highway as well to minimize the amount of traffic congestion in the area.
Len, I was just going to follow up. What kind of a toll do you think your neighbors, friends, people in this community would be willing to pay? Want to take a stab at that?
Nobody's willing to pay a toll. You know that. Nobody ever wants to pay a toll. You know, so do I don't... Whatever number I throw...
I'm not asking you to set the toll.
Yeah, just take it. You know, it would be... It's an arbitrary number.
Okay.
You know, I think if people had to pay $5, $6, $7... Sure, people would probably go for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Northeast Anchorage has changed wondrously in 15 years as far as being a symbol of the diversity of Anchorage coming through, just evident in the elementary schools alone.
Absolutely.
How do you think we're doing becoming a community, and what ways can we surmount the barriers which still may remain?
Sure. You know, I think the biggest thing that individuals can do is to say, hey, look, we all live in the same city. We all live in Anchorage. We're all Americans. You know, we all have hopes and dreams for ourselves and for our children. You know, there's really not much that differentiates us. You know, yes, there's cultural differences, but like I said, we all have hopes and dreams. You know, I think individuals like Mao Tosi, who do phenomenal work with kids and different groups, you know, AFACT and churches, those are the individuals that and groups that bring communities together. It's a private sector initiative. It's individuals who have a passion for something that will do the greatest. And I think we do a really good job in that sense.
What do you think we learned from the equal rights debate of last summer?
That it's not going away. That it's a passionate debate. That, you know, whether regardless of what side that you're on, you know, it's something that it's hard to find middle ground on, because people are either absolutely for it or absolutely against it.
Local government is nominally nonpartisan. Is it really?
No. Politics is never nonpartisan. You know, the idea that it's nonpartisan in the sense of, okay, if you're going to run, you're not going to have an R, a D, or an independent, you know, next to your name. But when it comes down to ideas, those are partisan because you're either for bigger government or you're for a limited government. You're either for higher taxes or you're for lower taxes, and those become partisan issues.
Okay. The mayor has predicted at least one more year of budget challenges. The question we have is, how would you deal with that? If we have to cut, what do we do?
Well, again, it goes back to the second thing I want to accomplish on the assembly is Anchorage is a great city. We have great amenities. We have great trails. We have great parks. And we can maintain that level at a lower cost by introducing competition into the system. As I said before, Indianapolis is a perfect example. They save, now granted, they have over 1 million people in their city, but they save tens of millions of dollars every single year just by introducing competition into their city services. So we can maintain that at a lower cost.
Could we maintain quality? There's some question about what happened when the sidewalks under the state went to private.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't turn out very well. Is some sort of safeguards? How would you build those in?
Well, whatever,
in a contract.
Absolutely. You know, whatever contract that you sign with somebody, you have to put a satisfaction clause in there. You know, being that it's on the local level, you'll probably have a little bit better jurisdiction as far as maintaining and making sure that contract is fulfilled to its obligation.
Okay. We're starting to run short on time here, so we're going to have to go to our closing statements. Paul Honeman, you have 1 minute for a closing statement. Please.
Okay. Well, thank you, and thank you for hosting this running program. It's always good to educate and inform the public. Hopefully the voting public is tuning in and listening, and hopefully there's a clear choice for you tonight. I ask that you, for your vote, humbly request that you'd consider putting me on the ballot. And again, early election going on right now at City Hall or LUSAC Library, and the vote is Tuesday, April 6th. You know, I spent 23 years of, good service, which is behind me, serving you in law enforcement. There's one particular incident that I'd like to kind of frame this whole thing into, and that's a couple of years ago, my wife and I was off duty, and we were eating at a local restaurant, and three little hoodlum gangbangers came in and decided to disrupt our dining on a night of a graduation and assaulted a young man while I was sitting on the other side of the restaurant. And the ensuing melee, we arrested all three, or two of the three, serving long prison sentences. Well, I fought for you then, that night, as hard as I could, with every ounce of my energy, to set things right and to address criminality and hold those responsible accountable. And I pledge to you that I'll fight for you just as equally as hard with all of my energy on the Anchorage Assembly. I'd appreciate your vote. I'm Paul Honeman, running for Section 5, Seat H, Anchorage, East Anchorage. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Honeman. Thomas Purcell.
Yes, my name is Thomas Purcell. I'm running for Seat H, and I would appreciate your vote. I believe that only my system protects you as a property taxpayer, a property owner in this town. You know, right now you live under the threat that the city will someday take your home if you become sick, injured, lose your job. There's absolutely no consideration that the city takes in your ability to pay your property taxes. I also believe it's immoral that that your property that you own is taxed. You may own it free and clear. Someday you may own it free and clear. And I would believe it's wrong that the city would come in and with the threat of force, take your home away from you. Only my system with the sales tax would give a city a paycheck, a limited amount of money, and from that, they would have to determine what their priorities are. Again, my priorities being police, fire, school, and roads, but there has to be some kind of cap, some kind of limit on government, and I believe this is the only real solution out there.
Thank you. Mr. Trombley.
Again, I'm Adam Trombley. I appreciate your vote on April 6th. Anchorage is a beautiful city. I love this town. I came back here after school for a reason, because I want to raise my family here. Now, we have great parks, we have great trails, and we want to maintain those. We can all agree that we want to maintain those at a quality level, and we can do that at a lower cost. I haven't spent my life in government. Individuals who do have the same answer, tax and spend, tax and spend, and that's why we're in the challenge that we have right now. What I offer are the same solutions that the private sector offers. Competition increases service and it lowers price. That's a fundamental belief that I have, and that's what I'll fight for on the assembly, to lower the cost of doing government so you can keep more of the money that you work for. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Trombley. We're going to be back in just a minute with the candidates for Assembly Seat J. If you've missed part of our show tonight, or if you missed the school board candidates last night, remember, you can hear it all on KSK, KSK.org. We'll get it up there as quickly as we can.